I've got a couple of rounds of I didn't recognize you without your clothes on. Anna Ullaru, who plays Carmen.
Line of duty.
No, not Line of Duty, but good guess. Alex Sicariano,
Line of
who plays.
duty.
No, I see where this is going, Neil. Not Line of Duty. And then one final one,
Line
and
of
that is.
duty. This is one of the best games we've played on TV DNA.
People will just be listening to those last 2 minutes. That's all we'll get when we look back at the raw data of how
Yeah.
this episode's been listened to.
This podcast was recorded remotely and contains adult themes and language. Hello and welcome to TV DNA, our watch list episode. This week we're going to be talking about a whole host of shows, including but not limited to Spy slash Master, Shard Lake, and The Tattooist of Auschwitz. My name is Adam Hemming, and I've been joined by Neil Shepek
Hola.
and Damien Cooper.
Buona ziwa.
Indeed. So, how are we doing, chaps?
Yeah, good.
Grand.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of the shows. I haven't had time to watch loads because, hey, life. But yeah, looking forward to chat.
Grand. Well, let's dig into it then. Shall we start with Spy slash Master?
De ce nu?
Is this Romanian you're speaking to me?
It is indeed. De ce nu is why not in Romanian.
Very good. So yeah, you've watched the whole of this, Damo. So do you want to kick us off on Spy Master?
Yeah, sure. So it's a fictional story, but heavily based on an actual defector. So it is about a guy who's basically second to Nicolae Ceaușescu, who very much was the real person who was the communist dictator in Romania. And so yeah, he's like the top of the sorry, I seem to have lost the ability to speak, but the intelligence service in Romania. And his name, I want to say something horrendously Romanian, but it's Victor Goldanu is the name of our lead that we follow. And it charts his journey from realizing that he needs to get out of Romania and stop working for Ceausescu and spend his time, well, make his way to America, basically. That's the kind of overarching shape of the narrative.
Yeah, I've only watched the first episode of this, but he realizes that he's been made. He's originally a KGB mole, is that right? And
Yes.
he's been photographed talking to a Russian, and that's kind of what kicks off him trying to defect.
Yeah, so just a really brief history lesson for behind the Iron Curtain. Whilst Romania was behind the Iron Curtain, it was a kind of autonomous country. The Soviets didn't need to liberate it, and so there wasn't really a Red Army in there. Romania was able to talk its way into being its own individual state under Nicolae Ceaușescu. So therefore, whereas you might have had other countries in the Eastern Bloc who the KGB just basically were in charge of, and they just answered to Moscow. That was not the case in Romania during communism.
Grant. I mean, I felt there was quite a lot of ground to cover in that first episode, a lot of setup. I mean, as well as the Romanians and the Russians and the Americans, there's some German agents in there as well. And it was quite slim on thrills, I'd say. Perhaps that first episode, a little bit of spycraft, but decent performances. How did it develop as a show? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, obviously it's in Romanian, so I was always going to enjoy it anyway, having an affinity with the country. I think one of the things that I really like about it is Anna Laru plays a character called Carmen. She's part of the internal police there, and she's chasing after Victor Goldanu. And it's just interesting. More often than not, sadly, when we see these shows, Romanian women are in some way, usually a sex worker of some kind. So it's nice that we see a show in which Romanian women are not those characters. They are intelligent, autonomous individuals who are equal to their male counterparts, which we don't see very often on our TV screens, particularly if it's a non-Romanian show. It's usually the Romanian woman is a dead prostitute. So it's nice that we have that, which is quite rare.
But you recommend that I continue with this show then?
Yeah, I think so. I think that some really, really nice performances. I've got a couple of rounds of I didn't recognize you without your clothes on from this show, if people are up for playing it.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Anna Ularu, who plays Carmen. You've seen her in something before.
I need a picture of her, really.
Yeah, this doesn't work so great on a podcast unless you happen to have a search bar open as you listen to it. But Anna Ularu, ANAUL, excuse me,
Yeah, I remember the
ARU.
character. I don't
Line of
recognize her.
duty.
No, not Line of Duty, but good guess.
No, it's not gonna come to me. You'll have to tell me.
She played Zoya in The Power. She was the sister of the, I guess, the. Well, you know, this is the in part of that show set in Romania. So that's one. Two more. I'll make this quick because I have a feeling it's probably got diminishing returns. Let's go with our lead, Alex Sicariano,
Line of
who plays.
duty.
No, I see where this is going, Neil. Not Line of Duty.
Again, I didn't recognize him from anything because I watched, yeah, clearly I know what he looks like, but yeah, again, you'll have to tell me.
He's in Happy Valley.
Right, who does he play?
He plays Darius Knezovich.
Ah, he's the Knezovich.
Yes, indeed, he is. And then one final one,
Line
and
of
that is
duty.
good guess, but I don't believe she was in it. Svenja Jung.
And she plays the German. Is she the German
Yes,
character?
she is.
Yeah, again, I don't know where I've seen her in. She does look familiar, but I don't know where I've seen her before.
So she is in, if people watched it, Dark on
Oh,
Netflix.
it's been on my list for a long time, but I've never watched it.
This is one of the best games we've played on TV DNA.
I mean, this people will just be listening to those last 2 minutes. That's all we'll get when we look back at the raw data of how
Yeah.
this episode's been listened to. In short, yes, watch it.
Okay, well, let's move on then to the Tattooist of Auschwitz. Predictably not an easy watch, Neil, but what did you think of this?
I don't know if enjoy is the right word. I was very interested to watch it because I'd seen that it was quite a controversial watch. It was initially a novel by Heather Morris, who is from New Zealand, and it tells the story of how a Slovakian Jew, Sokolov, who was imprisoned and fell in love with a girl that he was tattooing. He's basically tattooing prisoners in Auschwitz. I've only watched the first episode, and I found it an interesting watch. I wouldn't say it's amazing. I'm not sure if I will watch more. The reviews have gone between complimenting the story based on real life events, and we do see the older Sokolov, but also that there are some inaccuracies within that story.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the controversy around this is the idea of setting a love story in a show about the Holocaust.
Yeah, a lot of the controversy is almost romanticizing the Holocaust and sensationalizing it, if that's the right word, that it's not necessarily a theme to, I don't know. I guess the criticisms have been around that it shouldn't be used as a background to a romance. Personally, you look at Romeo and Juliet, the background to that love story is all about civil war, or is in the forefront of civil war. I mean, I personally don't see that as an issue, but yeah, that has been one of the reasons why it's been criticized.
Yeah, so obviously I haven't seen this yet, so I was kind of waiting to hear fully what the controversy was. It seems a bit strange. Like I can understand why there might be controversy in romanticizing the Holocaust itself. Yeah, obviously that is problematic. But an actual romance between two people who are during the Holocaust itself, I mean, that's happened in so many films and TV shows
Yeah.
already. No one seems to have had a problem with that previously. I think that's a a strange thing to, I was about to say a hill to die on, but that's an unfortunate term. But yeah, it seems weird that people would kick off about that because they're both, you know, it's not like either of them are part of the German army or anything. They are both prisoners within Auschwitz, right?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I've only watched the first episode, but I agree with you. I don't think it's any in any way romanticizing the Holocaust itself. I think it's telling a love story in that part of history. And like, and as you say, and as I've said, you know, there are many, many love stories that have been told in the forefront of war or civil unrest.
Yeah, I thought this was a well-made show. The controversy aside, I think it's a well-made show. I think there's strong performances throughout it. It's affecting and effective in its storytelling. I think Anna Prochniak and Jonah Howard King, who play the leads, are very good. Harvey Keitel is played by ghosts of the past who sort of turn up whilst he's retelling his story, and obviously survivor's guilt. But I will continue watching this. I think it's I'm interested enough.
Adam from the future here, just with a quick drop in. Having watched the second episode of The Tattooist of Auschwitz, as I said, I do at the end of this podcast, I can absolutely see where the criticism of the show comes in. There's a big shift in tone, I think. You don't really get it from the first episode alone. But just to say that I won't be continuing to watch The Tattooist of Auschwitz, and I do think that the criticism of the show is fair.
So the third featured show we've got this week is Shard Lake. I've finished this last night, so I've watched all four episodes of Shard Lake. Have either of you watched it?
Watch the first episode.
Same.
So this is Arthur Hughes as Matthew Shard Lake, who is a lawyer in the time of King Henry VIII, and he has been tasked by Thomas Cromwell, played by Sean Bean, to go and investigate this murder of the king's emissary in this monastery. And he gets along with him is Anthony Boyle, who goes as also one of the king's men. It's full of mysterious hooded figures, castles, monks, and maids. And I thought at the end of the first episode there was an obvious explanation for the mystery, but I'm quite glad that it didn't turn out to be that. What did you think?
I thought it was really slow, I'll be honest. I didn't enjoy it. I felt like there was quite a lot of air in it, and there was nowhere near enough Sean Bean for my liking.
Yeah, if you're tuning in for Sean Bean, then you probably will be a little bit disappointed.
Personally, I felt like Sean Bean was the only thing it had going for it.
Wow, crikey. So neither of you really liked it. I must admit, I was a little bit unsure after the first episode. And the second episode gets quite confusing, although there are some good twists and bits and pieces in there. I enjoyed the interaction between Arthur Hughes. I think Boyle is a good foil for him. And it definitely does struggle a little bit with the pacing. I think the third episode is definitely the best one. But I think if this is popular and successful, there will be more Shard Lake series because there are more books that this is based on. And I think Arthur Hughes, as I said, I think he's really brilliant in that lead role. There's a little cameo by my good friend Anthony Cousins in the final episode. Really nice little chilling moment with him in there. But yeah, overall, I'm glad I watched it. I enjoyed it. If you like a kind of period murder mystery, then this will be a decent watch.
Yeah, so a lot of the monastery, I guess it is, they've clearly filmed that at a castle, once again, talking about Romania, in Romania called Hunedoara, which I've been to. So it's quite recognizable, the drawbridge, or should I say the bridge into it. But there's a lot of money being put into this. You can see the CGI where they've reshaped the castle to make it look more like a British monastery from that time. There's a lot of most well, Disney, isn't it? So there's a lot of money in it. So I agree. I think if it does get good viewing figures, we probably will see further series.
Yeah, I thought there's a good authenticity to the production and to the script and the dialogue and the performances. So I think from that perspective, they've spent their money well. Right then, I'm desperate to know, Damo, whether you've watched the latest episode of Sugar. Now, this is a spoiler-free watch list episode. So really, I'm just curious to know whether you are going to continue watching it.
I am. I haven't seen that episode yet. I tried to watch it a couple of times yesterday and earlier today, but I was overruled by finishing Spy Master.
Okay, I've got six words to summarize episode six. These are spoiler free, but they are wow, what the F, and huh? So, just bear that in mind when you come to, I think that's seven words with the and, but it is a bonkers ending to episode six, but I'm in for it.
Okay, I will try and watch it tonight, and I will message you with my thoughts. For those who don't know or they haven't heard, so Sugar is on Apple Plus, stars Colin Farrell, very much an homage to kind of golden era Hollywood. He's your classic kind of PI, and the episodes are about 30 to 40 minutes long, so it's very easy to get through it. I'm not convinced either way, Adam. I know you're loving it. Colin Farrell is very good in it, and there are some good performances in there. So I definitely think it's one to properly put on the list if you have Apple. I wouldn't buy an Apple subscription for that show, but if you have it, it's probably worth a watch.
Brant, anything else that you've been watching, Neil?
I went to the cinema last week and I watched Civil War, which I've seen on billboards all over the place. It's Alex Garland's new film. Alex has, well, he wrote The Beach, he wrote 28 Days Later, and many other really good films. This is the first one that I'm aware that he's directed. He might have directed previously, of course. I guess the only thing I would say without giving spoilers is don't be fooled by the marketing. The marketing is very much about a civil war in America, which obviously has happened in our history, but with lots of helicopters and tanks and bombs and stuff. If you want action, you'll get it, but it's not what I expected, and I wasn't disappointed by that. What the film shows is war photographers taking photos and documenting a civil war. And obviously, there's lots of civil wars happening right now in Gaza and lots of places in the world. And Kirsten Dunst, who plays the, I guess, the female protagonist, she says at one point, our job is to document, but not to judge, not to. And that's what the film does. It doesn't say who's right or wrong. It doesn't say which side, whether it be the people rebelling or whether it be the government. They capture what is happening. And I guess the atrocities of war, and in this case, civil war. I think it is, I would say, it is a really good film. I loved Wagner Moura, if I'm pronouncing that right, who we all know and love from Narcos. He played
Pablo Escobar.
Pablo Escobar. Yeah, absolutely. But also, Nick Offerman is amazing. He's not in it a lot, but he plays the President of the United States. You got Jesse Plemons in there. You got some fantastic actors. It is a really good film, and I would heartily recommend, but don't go along thinking you're going to get an Independence Day style action film. Because, yes, you get action, but that's not what it's there for.
So not Independence Day, no Will Smith, but can I ask, is Captain America in this one?
No.
And Wagner Moura, also very good in The Shining Girls, available on Apple TV Plus. How about you, Damo? Anything else?
Yeah, so I finished watching Unlocked on Netflix, which is a documentary in one unit in a federal facility, I think they call it, in Arkansas. Finished it. I thought it was a really interesting docu-series about rehabilitation and how autonomy and agency is an integral part in that. My God, my brain just refuses to work. Sorry, lads. When it comes to rehabilitation.
Yeah, I picked this up, Damo, given your recommendation last week. So I watched the first episode and a half. In fact, I'm nearly finished the second episode and I'm enjoying it. But I think what worries me is what we don't see, right? Because they have cameras up the whole time. I bet they've got some footage that isn't going to make the show.
Are you talking about people seeking a bit of me time?
Well, yeah, perhaps. I mean, they've got pretty full coverage in most of the cells and areas on that cell block, right?
Yeah, to be honest, I think if you've been in a prison for that long, you're probably used to being on camera. Much like Neil's film, if you're looking for action, you won't necessarily find that kind of action on this show. I think it's interesting. I don't want to say too much more because it might spoil watching Adam. I also watched the latest Have I Got News for You? Still doing what it does, still very good. It was recorded before the local and mayoral elections. So sadly, there's not much chat on that. No doubt next week's episode will deal with what's going on with that. And the other big thing, and I have been trying to control myself, and hopefully will do better than I did with Blue Lights, but I'm also watching The Responder.
Yeah, The Responder is on. I've watched the first two episodes, and we're going to record a special on that fairly soon. So we'll hold our thoughts on that for now. I'm certainly enjoying what I've watched so far of series two.
I think we talked about this in the WhatsApp group. If you haven't watched it, I cannot recommend watching series one, but it's just relentless from the get-go. Martin Freeman is just so in it from the moment it starts. I know lots of people don't necessarily have great things to say about Martin Freeman as an actor, but I genuinely think this is the best thing he's ever done by a country mile.
I think you just said you cannot recommend. I assume you meant you cannot recommend it enough.
Correct.
Excellent. Well, I have been watching A Man in Full, not in that way, but the show on Netflix called A Man in Full, which stars your man. What's his name? He's one of
Dave?
the. No, he's one
Barry?
of. No.
Jeff?
It's just gone out of my head. He's one of the
Luke?
Jeffs, you're right. But it's not Jeff Bridges, it's Jeff Daniels who is in this show. And he plays Charlie Croker. I've only watched the first episode, and like Spy Master, there's a lot of ground to cover in that. But he's basically being defaulted by the bank, and those in his orbit have their own issues and problems, including his ex-wife, played by Diane Lane, Tom Pelfrey's character. I'm not even sure what his job is, but he feels undervalued in it. And Charlie's lawyer has an approach from the mayor. So they've all got these different issues going on, all very wealthy people. The only working class character gets arrested for assaulting a police officer. But yeah, money and morality seem to be the themes, but it wasn't heavy on the action in that first episode.
Cool. I remembered us previewing this in the last watch list, and I did have a question because of the copy that we had with that show. Says that he has a fall from grace. Who is Grace? Do you have that answer now?
I don't. There is no grace. It does also have Sarah Jones, Lucy Liu, William Jackson Harper. It's a really, really good cast in this. And it's produced by or written by David E. Kelly and produced by Regina King. So I'm minded to give it a little bit longer just because of the people involved in this. I did find Jeff Daniels' character not particularly likable, and I think I struggle to like him when I don't like his character.
Fair enough. And what is this on again?
It's on the Netflix. The other thing that I have continued watching is Knuckles with Otis. Would you like to hear his thoughts on the latest episode?
It depends. Is there any Huggles chat or not?
There's no Huggles chat, no.
Fine. Okay, it doesn't matter. I'll still listen.
Hello, we just finished watching the Knuckles movie part two, haven't we, Dad?
Yeah, it's Knuckles TV show though, isn't it? It's not a movie.
It
No, it's a TV series. There's a difference between a TV series and a movie. Do you know what the difference is?
They are shorter and one is longer, and one is shorter and one is longer, and one is shorter and one is longer.
Which one's shorter?
These films?
Well, the TV episodes are shorter than a movie, but if you put them all together, then it's longer than a movie. Anyway, what did you think of Knuckles episode two?
What do you rate it out of 1 to 10?
One to ten. I'd probably give this one a seven. What do you think?
I'd probably think 6.
A six.
Yeah.
Oh, why wasn't this one so good?
No funny, no like big actions.
Well, there was a little fight scene, wasn't there?
Yeah, but it was pretty lame.
Pretty lame. And did they, what else did they do? They went and had a burger, didn't they?
Yeah.
And do you remember what happened at the end?
Wade saw her mum, his mum,
Wade saw his mum.
and she fainted because of Knuckles, probably. Right?
Well, I don't know if she saw Knuckles. I think she just fainted because he was there.
No.
Okay. Are you going to carry on watching Knuckles? Did you enjoy it enough to watch more?
watch What If.
You want to watch What If instead?
Yeah.
So no more Knuckles now. We're going to finish watching Knuckles.
Yes!
Okay. All right.
Bye!
So yeah, not such a great second episode, unfortunately.
I'm sure like most of our listeners, all three of them, have the same question. So you're definitely not going to continue watching it?
Well, he did ask me this morning. We watched it over the weekend. He did ask me this morning if we could watch another episode.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't sure. It was quite a dramatic pause before he said whether he would or wouldn't continue watching it.
We'll bring you more Otis thoughts on Knuckles if we get them.
I just want to check in because another show was mentioned. What If? What is What If?
What If is an MCU TV series, animated series demo, second season. Otis hadn't quite finished watching. Came out quite a while ago. He's binged that over his long bank holiday weekend.
Nice.
I've only finished one show this week other than Shard Lake, and that's Dinosaur on BBC iPlayer, which I have raved about previously, and I will continue to rave about to anyone who will listen. Absolutely adored this Scottish comedy. Has laugh-out-loud lines, lovable characters. It's quite a quick and quirky show. It's a big recommendation from me, so check out Dinosaur on the BBC iPlayer.
And Tales of the Empire has come out. I've watched the first episode and absolutely loving it. Like a lot of the Star Wars TV episodes on Disney, if you're a Star Wars fan, you'll love it. If you're not, you won't bother. And that's absolutely fine.
I enjoyed the first one as well. They're quite quick and short again. Right, should we get into what's coming out this week then?
Yeah.
Okay. I will kick us off with Dark Matter, which comes to Apple TV Plus on Wednesday, the 8th of May. There are infinite realities. This is the one where Jason Dessen kidnaps himself. He's an expert in astrophysics, and it sheds light on the topic of dark matter, which has been one of the primary mysteries in modern physics. It's based on the blockbuster book by acclaimed best-selling author Blake Crouch and stars Joel Edgerton, Jennifer Connelly, and Alice Braga.
Nice. It sounds interesting. I'm worried it might disappear up the black hole of its own arse.
Yeah, I mean, it's another one of these alternate reality shows which Apple TV seems to love. But I'm going to give this one a go. I like Joel Edgerton and Jennifer Connelly. So yeah, this is right up my street.
Yeah, I think I might give it a go as well. What I might also give a go is coming to Netflix on the 9th of May, Bodkin, which is a darkly comic thriller about a motley crew of podcasters who set out to investigate the mysterious disappearance of three strangers in an idyllic coastal Irish town. But once they start pulling at the threads, they discover a story much bigger and weirder than they could have ever imagined. And it stars Siobhan Cullen from The Dry, Will Forte, and Chris Wally.
Yeah, I think this one looks like a lot of fun, judging by the trailer. I like Siobhan Cullen a lot. I think she's great in The Dry. I think she's the Fleabag's sister as well, isn't she?
Could be.
Pretty sure. But Neil, what's the most exciting thing out this week?
Oh, absolutely. The most exciting thing for me is Doctor Who, the season one of this new era of Doctor Who with Chief Gatwa and Russell T Davies coming back into the important seat, the big seat. That's on BBC on the 11th of May. The script, as it were, for what to expect is basically what you would expect, in that there are lots of baddies and the Doctor gets into lots of scapes in the Regency, in England, but also war-torn future world. He's got a companion in Millie Gibson called Ruby Sunday. And it sounds really exciting. And from everything we've seen of Chitty as the Doctor, I am expecting some great TV. I cannot wait.
And this has been rebranded as season one because it's the start of the new partnership with Disney Plus. So this is bigger budget Doctor Who, the start of, as you say, the start of a new era. I have heard that the second episode, Neil, features a song and dance number.
Awesome.
With special guests that will particularly appeal to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you know who those special guests will be?
I mean, I'll just say Strictly and leave it at that.
Oh,
Bruno Tomlioni.
I mean, you know, who knows? Who knows?
I'm seriously really looking forward to it. There was a musical number in the Christmas edition that they put out. Russell T. Davies never fails to satisfy. I'm not saying that from personal experience. He is a fantastic showrunner and writer, and he's done amazing stuff with the Doctor Who franchise. And Judy Gatwa, I mean, can't do anything wrong.
And are we going to do maybe the odd special on this new season of Doctor Who, Neil?
I'm up for that.
Okay. Also out this week is a big... I'm going to watch all three of those shows, but there's another two shows out this week that I'm very excited about and have raved about before. The School Bell is rung at Abbott Elementary for season 3 on Disney Plus on the 8th of May. And on the same day, we go back inside number 9 for the final time on the BBC. So inside number 9's final 6 episodes will be airing weekly from the 8th of May onwards. Right, TV news time.
Things have been a little bit quiet for old Benedict Cucumber Sandwich. However, he is in a show, Eric, which is a true crime drama with puppets. And it looks amazing. It should be coming the 30th of May on Netflix.
Why do you say it looks amazing, Demo?
Because that's what it says in the copy that Adam's written.
You not watch these trailers when I send you the links. I think it does look amazing. It looks incredible. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch plus kind of almost like Muppets slash Sesame Street style puppets going on. Yeah, I think it looks really, really good. I'm very excited about that one. Now, who would score more in Scrabble, Benedict Cumberbatch or Jake Gyllenhaal?
I'm just trying to see. I think probably Jake Gyllenhaal, because I don't know how you put Benedict Cumberbatch down on a Scrabble board in one go. It's too long a name.
Fair enough. Well, Jake is starring in Presumed Innocent, which is a remake of a Harrison Ford film, I think, on Apple TV Plus on the 12th of June. And there is a trailer out for that one as well. And I reckon Vicky McClure probably scores quite high on Scrabble too. Well, she's in Insomnia, which is coming to Paramount Plus on the 23rd of May. And there's also a trailer out for that this week. And then the final trailer we got this week was from Netflix's After School program, a new show called Geek Girl. Which comes out on the 30th of May. And we'll pop the links to those trailers in the podcast description. I'm not so sure about Geek Girl. I don't think I'm the audience for that. But the other three I'm quite excited about.
Nice. Do you know what, Adam? Is there any kind of new information about Cobra Kai?
Do you know what, Damo? There is.
And what?
The sixth and final season of Cobra Kai is going to be split into 3 parts. 15 episodes, I'm assuming 5 episode chunks, but who knows. The first part will kick off on the 18th of July. The second part sweeps in November, and the final roundhouse will be in 2025. So yeah, stretching it out a little bit, maybe.
And are ITV having a laugh this summer?
Yeah, they are, Neil. It's funny you should ask that. They are, because they've announced 4 new comedy releases. So we're getting season 2 of Alan Carr's autobiographical Changing Ends. I didn't watch the first season, not really interested in the second one. Piglets, which is kind of Police Academy meets Green Wing with Sarah Parrish and Mark Heap. And then Zoe Lister-Jones's... Go on, Damo, do you want to interrupt there?
Yeah, I was just going to say my good friend Sook Ojla is in Piglets as well. So it's very exciting that she's bagged herself such a big role in what looks to be a great show.
Well, we've had Blue Lights, we've now got Responder, and yeah, Piglets, more sort of uniformed police, which is very exciting. Zoe Lister-Jones's Slip is a journey through parallel universes triggered by a moment of infidelity, which also stars Amar Chadha Patel and Emily Hampshire from Schitt's Creek.
So it's not about a pair of magical pants?
I wish it was. That's a show to pitch to probably Netflix. And also the final one is the Edinburgh Fringe Live. So they're going to be doing 4 60-minute live comedy gigs from Edinburgh Fringe.
And what's Robert Downey Jr. up to?
Well, he and Sandra Oh will be in The Sympathiser on Sky/Now from the 27th of May. We have talked about this one before. He plays numerous characters, I believe, in this. But yeah, I think it's a Vietnam set or a Vietnam spy. Can't remember exactly the plot of it, but it does look quite good.
Do you know what also looks quite good? Iris, a show coming to Sky. They've confirmed that Nemal Gott and Tom Hollander will be in this sun-drenched chase thriller directed by Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul's Terry McDonough.
I'm a huge Nemal Gott fan. Massive. I think she's brilliant. And Tom Hollander, also currently in Feud, but was brilliant in The White Lotus. So that it does looks quite exciting.
Some might say Rice Radom.
They might say what?
Rice Radom. Or nice one is how Scooby-Doo would say it, because Netflix are working on a live-action Scooby-Doo, right? And that is through Berlanti Productions, who have made You, Dead Boy Detectives, and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I mean, the films were quite successful, right? The Scooby-Doo films?
The first one definitely was. I don't know about the second one.
The TV cartoons were unbelievably successful and a huge part of my childhood.
Yeah, but I think they're, like, I kind of would be more behind a new Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Yeah, I would probably agree animated Scooby-Doo generally does better. I just wish that Scooby and Shaggy would learn from every other episode. In the, it's always going to be a caretaker or school janitor dressed up in disguise. Like, there are no things as monsters or aliens.
I think the big question about this live-action Scooby-Doo is, will there be a Scrappy-Doo or not? Because I think all us OG fans would prefer that there wasn't a Scrappy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, the final bit of uninspiring news is that Fire Country, a show that none of us have seen, has a spin-off called Sheriff Country. How do they come up with these names? But Sheriff Country will star Morena Baccarin, if you're a fan of her.
Fire Country, that was the one where all the prisoners were invited to work with the fire engines to help with their sentence, right?
A rehabilitation program.
Yeah, so I did watch, did I even finish the first episode? I certainly watched at least half of the first episode, and it was the most tropey. You can see what everyone is going to do in the whole series within 5 minutes of watching the show. So it doesn't surprise me that they've gone, yeah, let's just do the same thing again, but do it with police tropes.
Excellent. Are we going to pick a show for we're probably going to do Doctor Who, but maybe Dark Matter will be a featured show for next week on the watch list.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Well, thanks both for doing this. If you want to let us know what you've been watching, you can do so on the social media at TVDNAPod, or you can email tvdnapod@gmail.com. We have our final Shogun episode has just been released already, and we'll have specials coming out on The Responder as well. What are you both going to be watching next? What's the next thing you're going to put on your TV screen?
Sugar.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who? You're going to wait until the 11th?
Oh, I might have to. I'm really busy at the moment.
Well, you can go and watch some old Doctor Who now. I've got next up on my list is the second episode of Tattooist of Auschwitz, so I should be watching that. I will just quickly say I've been watching We Are Lady Parts, the first series, because the second one's coming out soon, and The Sopranos, both of which I'm quite enjoying. Anyway, probably should have covered that earlier. Thanks for listening, all.
Bye.